Hello.
Hi, friend.
Where's your headset?
You know, you're not going to believe what's happened. I've lost the microphone part of it.
That's a great start.
Sorry, JB. Sorry, Audio Technica. We've had audio technical difficulties, and I've lost a part of my headset. So, is that okay?
What a better way to start, and just a perfect restart up of our podcast.
We're recording.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, audio technica difficulties.
Yeah. How are you? Look at that hair.
I know, right? This is going to go on YouTube, I think, so people will actually see this.
So you might as well tell us what's going on.
Oh, yes. I'm doing mullets for mental health for the Black Dog Institute to raise money, awareness, and help prevention of suicide in Australia, both youth and adult, which is obviously, of course, very close to my heart. Anyone who's been on this podcast journey knows what I've been through, and I've kind of come out the other side of that. So I decided to do that, and it's a tough time to ask people for money. I think we're going to get into kind of the state of the nation for us as Sydneysiders, but I just want to bring awareness and start some conversations. And anyone who's seen me, not that we get to see too many people, ask me about my hair, and I get to tell them why I'm doing it. And that's a conversation that otherwise probably would never have happened. So that's what I'm doing. There's a link somewhere. I guess we can put it on Skip This.
We'll add it. And, we'll add it to the link tree.
Add it to the link tree. Yeah. We've got a tree of links. How that works exactly, I'm not sure, but Luke manages that. So, yeah, so for the month of September, I will be rocking this for the Black Dog Institute. I actually got reshared by the Black Dog Institute.
I saw that.
My Ryan Pappenhausen story. So
it was bloody hilarious. We'll share it again on our socials when we release this episode. But it's hilarious.
Creating some content.
Yeah, you have, which brings me to our next point. Like, our last episode was – You jotted it down because you're a stats guy. June 23rd.
Yes. Bit's changed, eh?
Little bit's changed.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I've had a busy few weeks.
Yes.
TikTok's just going nuts in lockdown, and it's an ever-moving beast. So there's always something to do. And one really cool thing that I got to be involved with on the weekend that's just passed was a big fundraiser for Lifeline, where we actually had Lifeline come to our media publishing team, and they said, look, we've had the biggest amount of calls we've ever had in the history of Lifeline last Monday. Mm-hmm. And we sort of made the decision that we're like, well, we've got to do something. Lifeline's a big partner has just become a big partner of TikTok. So getting our sort of feet wet in the space of fundraisers, we thought, let's just try and go big and do something good. And we managed to get Delta Goodrum and DJ Tiger Lily to do a couple of live streams over the weekend. And we raised about $5,000 during the stream. But then we also got approval from TikTok to donate another $185,000. So it's been a really cool thing to work on. Our fundraisers are amazing in what we do, but like we would never have sort of the backing
the resources
that I do now. And it's so humbling to be part of a company that like believes in the same thing as me.
Yeah, because I remember when you were going through the long and exhausting interview process for that job, one of the things that TikTok were interested in you and your kind of bio and resume was your work in the mental health space with Skip This podcast, and that they were kind of active in that space. And this is, I guess, to the two combining kind of perfectly, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then worlds colliding next week is obviously, it's on Thursday the 9th is Are You Okay Day next week, which...
Oh, yep.
It's crazy to think, because I remember us doing a podcast, which feels like not long ago, and we were pre-promoting Are You Okay Day.
Yeah.
So that year's just gone crazy. But one of our past guests, Hugo Toothy, is going to come and do a guest speaking thing at work. So I'm just stoked that everyone's going to be able to hear his story, because I know that when we heard it, we were just like jaws dropped to the floor and just
on the edge of our seat. One nut and half a gut. Great man. Absolute great man.
So nothing about me. Like,
always about me, isn't it?
It needs to be more about you this episode. Tell us what's happened since we last podcasted.
Well, probably the biggest news is that I've had a baby. Well, I haven't not physically had it. I physically have a baby in my possession. Not right now.
You didn't birth it.
I didn't birth it. I was there for the birthing, said birthing. Well, that was a bit of a trip. And, I have now a baby, Mackenzie Louise Brown, who is 7 weeks old right now, I think, by the time we air this episode. So it's been a bit of a trip. It was awesome to finally see you and Ash on the weekend and kind of go out for a walk. And, you know, it's been a... With masks on and socially distanced in a group of two and a group of two. And it's been a bit of a weird experience. Like, you know, since we last podcasted, we've been in lockdown pretty much ever since. It was a day or two after lockdown started. So we're at 10 weeks of the lockdown now. So it's like, it's kind of, for me, it's gone so quick because we've just had this child learning how to become parents and being able to just focus on that. So lockdown really, I mean, all things considered, for us as a kind of young family now, hasn't been so bad. Like, I've still have a job and everything. There's a lot of people doing it very tough, and I understand and appreciate that, but we've been really lucky. Like, we've obviously missed, like, my partner Jamie is from Dubbo, so we haven't been able to get up there and kind of meet all the family up there. Like, that's probably the huge thing we've missed. But other than that, we've been able to just really focus on becoming parents and getting in a routine and just spending just magical amounts of time with our daughter, which, you know, if we weren't locked down, you know, I'd be in the office and I'd be going to work and away from work 50 hours a week, whatever that might be. So try to split it a positive like that. And, you know, it's I roll out of bed and go to the office, which is next door to the bedroom. So, and so it's been a pretty amazing experience. You know, I think chatted to you in particular at length beforehand of what to expect. And there's just no words can kind of, or can prepare you for that first moment when you kind of, you have your child put in your arms in the pregnancy, in the birthing suite. And yeah, it's just been one amazing experience after another, definitely in amongst some really tough days as well. Mm. Like, that it's not all easy. It's definitely not. Again, that was advice we were told. And I remember it clearly. Like, the two things I was most concerned about there's one thing I was most concerned about, and that was the nappies. And it's kind of nice that the first 6 weeks of poos, they don't really smell. So it's like they're letting you put on your training wheels. So you've just got to experience like the sloppy and the grossness of it, but it doesn't smell. So like, I feel like you're learning, you're walking before you're running. And then the thing that I was not, like, that everyone told me about was like, you don't know sleep deprivation until you've had a child. And I was like, hey, I'm fine. That doesn't worry me at all. I've like,
you always said, I don't sleep anyway, I'll be fine.
Yeah. And I don't sleep very well, but now I do sleep really well.
Wow.
when I can, because, there's a lot of late nights and early mornings and Jamie, my partner's working so much harder than me and all that stuff because she's giving me more sleep because I've got to work. So it's the sleep deprivation is real. I kind of laughed at everyone telling me that, but I'll concede defeat on that. I thought I knew what sleep deprivation was like, but I don't. I didn't. No, now.
Well, I mean, it's a weird thing. I obviously was the same. Like, I used to operate probably, and I still can. I can operate off like 6 hours of sleep. I don't really need that much, but you get to a point where you end up sort of stuck in this, I don't know, it's this void of not being able to sleep, and then you do end up having arguments with your partner and they just, you realize the next day it just didn't mean anything. It was an argument that you had without any sleep, and they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is that the flip side of that is that the further you fall into this sleep deprivation hole, the better it feels those nights that Mackenzie will eventually sleep through, and you kind of,
yep,
you wake up and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Did he sleep through?
Yeah, like, we've had a couple of those. Yeah, for sure. It's like, it's funny because like your wife Ash gave me some really good advice like a couple of weeks ago, and she said like, listen, like you're gonna argue, but anything you say or do between the hours of like 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. you can't hold on to anything that happens between those hours because. She said, I actually threatened to kill Luke on multiple occasions because he did the tiniest thing wrong. And it feels so true because, like, you kind of get, you're tired and agitated, and you've got to, like, you're in charge of keeping this child alive. Like, there's no training wheels for that. It's like, you're just straight into, and we did 2 4-hour classes on a Saturday afternoon. Like, we were like, massively, like nothing can prepare you for like being responsible for a child. There's no.
Well, it's a good sort of throwback to the fact that like Ash and I didn't bother with the classes, and I think it was because someone gave us that advice. They're like, you can train for this game all you want, but you don't know what the opposition's like. So
That's it. I was just, I have like such an appreciation for mothers in general, a much greater understanding of what they do and how much hard work they put in. And like Jamie's just got this human attached to her side now. And I'm still really nervous, and like that comfort levels aren't quite there yet. Yeah. Like I've only just had my first bath with her and stuff, and I can't settle her in the afternoon. So there's still a lot of work. Like it doesn't come as naturally to me as it has to Jamie. Like, I have some amazing moments and I love singing to her and stuff and get some kind of reactions like that. But like the hard stuff is still really kind of hard for me. Whereas I think Jamie makes the hard stuff look easy, and the same deal for like my mum, or when we first had Mackenzie, Jamie's mum stayed with us for the first 2 weeks. And just watching them and just how like naturally it comes to, and I don't think it's fair to say it's just a woman's thing, because it, like you can have paternal instincts like you can have maternal, but I'm working on those for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's early days, man. Like, I think someone once said to me is just like these early stages. You almost look at it like it's an animal tribe sort of pack thing. Apparently, the baby looks a lot like the dad when they're born, because that becomes the connection that the dad has with the child, and that becomes the only connection they have. And then they also tend to go to the mother more because they're the ones that are giving them like nourishment, and
they're
the ones that basically in the wild, if a mother doesn't get along with the baby, they just reject it. So it's like that animal instinct inside of us that connect us in certain ways. And I mean, it won't be long until she's like wanting daddy and instead of mummy and stuff.
Well,
like
I'm lucky because Jamie's producing, and she's probably going to hate me saying it, but Jamie's producing so much milk out of the milk jugs that she's putting a lot of it in bottles. So I'm getting to do a couple of feeds a day, which so I have this like it's the moment I said it to you on the weekend. It's like you're like, because her eyes are. And I don't know if it's baby eyes or her eyes. Her eyes are like this dark, these dark blue eyes right now. And so I can feed her with a bottle, and I look into her eyes, and she's staring straight back at me. I don't think she can even really see. I think she's seeing shapes.
Yeah.
But her eyes are just this piercing color, and you see your own reflection perfectly. And I thought, and every time I feed her, I get to have that moment and just see myself in her eyes, and just know my most important job for the rest of my days is to mold this child into what hopefully can be the best version of herself. And it's just an amazing experience. It's just truly humbling, special. It just gets all the emotions. It's just really nice. And it's been really special despite kind of the lockdown and not being able to see people like we have. to really kind of just start sharing that with my mom, and Jamie's mom, and just watch, you know, Jamie and her mom just having a bond now like never before is just, it's all just really powerful. It's just like, it's the light amongst the kind of dark days of what is kind of happening otherwise all around us right now, especially in the live event space where we've kind of had to postpone our big event Nitro World Games at the end of the year. And I think the baby just gives me perspective of what's most important in my life. Like, yeah, work's great and it's been a huge and integral part of my life, but it's by far and away not the most important thing like it once always used to be. So yeah, dad life has changed. Yeah, that's cool. I'm fucking sober for 100, I think it's day 130 today, actually. Yeah, I'm sober for 130 days now.
That's incredible. And I didn't make it any easier because I decided to drop off a little gift for you and that included a six-pack of beers. How's that going?
Yeah. It's a five-pack of beers because I used one of those beers to clean the filthy barbecue a couple of nights ago. So
It's not wasted.
No, it's not wasted, but it will probably collect a few cobwebs. I just decided, like, I had that big drink at the golf tournament, which, you know, we chatted about a couple of times on the podcast and in particular with the Welsh brothers. And I wasn't super happy with my efforts, and I kind of knew I was going to have a big drink then, and then I was just going to have 3 months off, which basically took me up to Mackenzie's birthday. So it was basically 90 days from the golf tournament to her due date. So I just thought, you know, I'll just have 90 days off. I'll be clear and focused. And, you know, at that point, a lot of work on my plate as well. So it was kind of like trying to get that balance right. And I've always been zero to 100. And then it got to, you know, got to closing on the birthday. And I was like, it just was agreeing with me. And, you know, whenever I've done a few 90-day challenges in the past, and it's always linked to something at the end of it. Like, even before the golf tournament drink, I did the 90-day challenge beforehand, and I timed that deliberately, knowing I was just going to turn one on that golf tournament. And I did, and, you know, I blacked out and, you know, stay at a pub for 4 hours and don't remember. And it was just, I did the things I don't want to do anymore. And so it got to 90 days, and then we had the baby, and I was like, just kind of working, not having a drink, and now it's kind of 2 months. It might actually be longer than that. I don't fucking know. It's just days turned. It's Groundhog Day. But yeah, I've just enjoyed like being clear-headed, and you know, I just can't imagine like getting that drunk like I have a tendency to do, and then coming home and being a dad, you know, and being a part, not just being a shit dad, but being a shit partner too. So
yeah, I mean, it'll happen eventually, but when you have that hangover with a kid, you'll be like, yeah, that's why I didn't do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's I've spoken to lots of people who were party boys, like another guy, like another former podcast host and my meditation mentor, Mitch Woods, was the same. He was a party boy. Mm. He had the kids, and it was just the switch was flicked. And I don't sit here saying I'm never going to drink again. There's just no way I would ever commit to that, but I enjoy not drinking. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely way easier knowing that no one's at the pubs, and it's been a cold, wet winter. So it's probably not as an impressive feat as it sounds just by the raw data.
Yeah.
Because we haven't been able to see our friends for a beer and rip into a pub for 10 weeks now. So So that's kind of where life at is at for me. What about you, mate? Apart from TikTok, what else?
You know, I mean, we had Heath during pretty much the start of the original lockdown as well. So I fully understand like where you're coming from in talking about these first really special times at home, and the fact that the lockdown actually was a really good thing because it kind of forced you into this bubble that all you had to do was just concentrate on raising this child. And same thing now. It's just we try to get out for a walk every day. Heath's like at a stage now where he just wants to run and ride bikes and all that sort of stuff. So he's just wild. So we have to entertain him for those hours before and after his day sleep. And the more you do, like the more you get him out and run around and do stuff, the better he sleeps during the day. And then in turn, which still doesn't make sense to me today, like the more he sleeps during the day and the better he sleeps during the day, the better he sleeps at night. So they go through this thing where if they are too tired because they haven't had a sleep during the day, then at night it weighs on them and they can't sleep, which you would think it'd go the other way. You would think that they'd just be so exhausted that they would collapse and sleep for hours, but no, it doesn't work like that. So routine is just a massive part of our life now, and it's just we know the times we can head out. We're being locked down at home. Ash and I get out every morning for coffee and a jaunt at the park for not only Heath but Clive as well gets to go out and just.
And you guys need it too, right? Because you're both working from home now.
Yeah, and that's weird too, because like Ash and I have only ever sort of in the lead up to this we'd kind of be doing shifts, like she would work from home on a day and I'd go to the office and vice versa. Like we'd never really both worked from home at the same time. So doing that pretty much every day is hard. Heath goes to daycare a couple of days, but on those days that he is at home, it's literally just a tag team effort for us to get through all our calls and our meetings throughout the day while feeding him and getting him to bed at the right time. And there's days where he wakes up early and you're in the middle of a call, but luckily we both have really understanding bosses and staff members that they just understand where we're at. And like there's so many other people that have it even harder. Like my direct boss is homeschooling as well, so he has to juggle not only being a director of a company like TikTok, but having to teach his kids lessons all day and so it really makes you think that we've actually, most of the days we've got it actually pretty easy. Like a book and a lolly or a bike or something is what keeps him entertained. So like
my sister's homeschooling 3 children at the moment, and that's next level what she has to deal with on the daily. So I mean, we've got our hands full with one. Like she's got 4, 3 of which are school. It's just like what women do, what mothers do is just like, you know, I've always seen it from afar, you know, but until you're kind of living and breathing it 24/7, you probably don't ever fully understand. And
it's the thing, like when we do the Fits and Fast 5, like the majority of people and pretty much all of the dads that we've had on the show, when you ask them who their hero is, it's always been their wife.
Mm.
And I think seeing them give birth to your blood, like I think that just changes everything. And like you see what they go through, not only in the lead up to it, but then on the actual day and then even after, like the emotions, the drop and all that sort of stuff. Like it's incredible how they get through it.
Yeah. It's a good little mini, totally by accident segue that we had to mention our naming rights sponsor, Fitsim, Rob Pisto down there. You know, he's I caught up with him over the phone late last week. We'd been kind of missing each other for playing phone tag for a little while, and he's obviously small business owner running a gym, and you know, all things considered, he's got a good system in place to kind of keep all his members happy and keep the income flowing in. He's lost a lot of business, but of course Rob Pisto doing Rob Pisto things is donating more of his time to other people to help other people. And his current offer, which you can email him at fitsimhq@gmail.com. Dottie, put a link up somewhere, would you?
Yeah, sure.
Fitsim is currently offering all businesses and their employees who are currently without a job, doors shut, or door shut, free Zoom business sessions, fitness sessions for their business. These sessions are for all fitness levels and are a great way to boost your mood, spirit, and energy level in the current climate.
That's so good.
So it's just, again, like he's like, so he has to run those classes and he does it free of charge.
Yeah.
Because he knows how important that is for people who, you know, at the moment, there's a lot of people who can't afford to do that. Mm. So he's giving it to them for free. And that's just, that's the mark of the man, really, it isn't it?
It's incredible. He's a good man, Robbie. So hopefully it all works out for him. And with the vaccination sort of on track, with hopefully getting to a good number, especially on the Northern Beaches, that he can get to a stage where he can open up again.
Yeah, he's got the outdoor classes, so he can have a kind of minimal amount out the back. So it's just like they're the people, like the Australian economy, they're the lifeblood of it, those small business owners. And Compound, what he does is kind of keeping people sane, fit, healthy, and alive.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing more important than, like, the government has got so many things wrong, and one of them is that, you know, gyms and the like and personal trainers have had to be a priority to open for all the reasons everyone knows.
Yeah.
So there was a time where you could buy a fucking Louis Vuitton bag, but you couldn't go to a personal training session, like, not too long ago. So fucking fix yourself, Scott Morrison.
Okay. Well, I mean, you did say you wanted to be a little bit political.
I've decided not to.
Yeah, I think that's for the better. I was going to say, let's just leave it.
I'm pretty opinionated on it all, and I'm not going to share that.
And that, like, I mean, that's not what we're about anyway. Like, we've never been a political show.
We've always avoided it, apart from the odd Donald Trump shot, and which, to be fair, Joe Biden is a royal screw-up right now as well. But, you know, let's leave that alone, mate, because I do have some strong opinions of it. And leave that for another day.
Okay. So let's get into.
I got legal counsel.
Yeah, good. You need it. Let's get into some of your new dad questions that you potentially had.
Yeah. Oh, beforehand, can I pitch you an idea live on here?
Yeah.
So this has kind of been born from. This has been born from a couple of things. Born from being in lockdown for a while, born from being sober for a while, but I had this idea called the mate date. Basically, a virtual catch up with a friend, either Zoom or on phone, but because we can't do a lot of it in person right now. So catching up with a mate without beer.
Love it.
So I want to start having some mate dates with my friends, particularly in America, because they're kind of gone back to normal life despite people just dropping dead in the street from COVID. But again, we won't go there.
I'm itching.
But so my idea was, like, when it's all said and done and we're back to normal, we go on mate dates, but we go for, like, coffee or breakfast instead of going to the pub.
Yeah, I love it.
That's my idea. It's not really – I don't think I'm the first person to have this idea, but I did Google it. There's no such thing as the mate date, and this is the mate date, and I'm gonna start it.
Well, if we build a good marketing plan and come up with a good logo and get it going, I think it's got legs. I think we can do it better than anyone else.
You know what I've been doing recently?
What are you?
I've got some advice from you. I'm learning how to Photoshop, so maybe I'll make the logo. I actually just finished a logo for Chasing Greatness, my ESPN 30 for 30 documentary about the milk crate challenge.
Yeah, that's very much into that. I think it's very funny. What about Canva? I signed you up to Canva.
I still use Canva all the time. Yeah. But I feel like I need to advance my skills.
Yeah, I don't know. If you get the skills on Canva, I think that's pretty
true. I tell you what. I just did some clip masking, and what I've done is I've written Chasing Crateness, and I've put photos of milk crates in my logo, and I think I'm a visionary.
I'm impressed. As much as I use Photoshop, I still don't use masking. I will always find a way around it. So you're ahead of me.
Bro, look at this. I'm going to fucking send it to you whilst we're talking. Can I do this?
I don't know. Just don't knock the Zoom out.
Look at this.
Wait, this is a like an audio medium podcast.
I know, but we can.
We'll have to splice it in here.
We'll splice it in there. Look at this. Look what I've done. Look what I've done here, Luke.
Is this
probably won't work?
Like, is this a live? You trying to email me a picture? No, you're trying to text me a picture.
Did it work?
I got a text.
Anyway, I'll send it to you after. You've seen the teaser for Chasing Greatness. So I've upgraded from iMovie and I bought it.
It's pretty good.
I'm
a bit of a fonts guy.
Yeah.
I don't like the font. I think we can do better.
What font should I do?
We'll chat.
You know, let's put a poll out to the
who gives a fuck? Our fans don't give a fuck about fonts. We'll work on it and then we'll release this is what it looked like and this is what it looks like now.
Okay. But no, I've been like, so you've been very patient with me and kind of seize control. What is when you give up control? Do you what's that word? It's not seized. It's not ceased. Maybe it is ceased.
Let you do your thing.
You've let it go. You've let it go.
You talk about YouTube.
Thing. Yes. Yeah.
Please, as long as everyone understands that I have let it go. So
yes. So I think it's very important because YouTube has been very active since the podcast has not been, and you've been very, very nice to just let me go. And what I've been doing is I've been skip this podcast content goes up when we'll probably do a couple more Zooms now. I've been rehashing all the Nitro Circus content that I've produced over the years, but then I'm working on my own stuff, which is, but I wanted to learn how to edit and do all this stuff because I wanted to start making videos for Mackenzie. That was kind of my primary focus. So I'm learning all this skills because I want to make these videos better and better over time. So it's been, again, you know, with lockdown, you don't have a lot of spare time with a child, but like you do find yourself with a bit of time and you can't do anything. So I'm now watching Photoshop and video editing tutorials on the daily in my spare time in the afternoon and evening.
I mean, it's a good skill to have, especially when like the whole thing around what we do is creating content.
Mm. And I love content. I love my
content.
My favorite thing in the world is to make people laugh. So if I can, I get a little bit of a kick out of it when someone has a lull at my stuff. And, you know, this month is going to be focused on the mullets for mental health. And I've got, I don't know if you can see, I've got these fancy dress spots in the background. So I've got about 12 other characters I need to do over the next few weeks. And I think tomorrow I'm going up to the park to do John Daly. That's going to be me outing. So I'm going to play a bit of golf up at the park with a mullet. So
nice. Just don't do the ciggies. Leave the ciggies.
Yeah,
out.
You know what? It's funny you should say that. It's
hard to do John Daly without the ciggies though.
In my old fancy dress box, I had fake cigarettes, but I can't find them.
Oh.
They were a casualty of the move, so I don't have the fancy dress. I don't have the fancy dress repertoire I once had, but I've made do because I've collected sports jerseys for the longest time. So I'm doing all these characters based on stuff that I had. So
you're doing
shit story, really.
You know, look
out for it. Look out for the content.
I think it trumps your vaccination videos. Keep doing the mullet stuff.
I'm not making it. I see it. I did the anti-vaxxer video and I was going to do a pro-vaxxer because there's idiots on both sides, right? I'm very aware of that. And then I just decided that was my last content I was going to make on the vaccination because people know how I feel and shit, we're going down that road again. What else were we going to talk about? Oh, some dad stuff.
Dad questions. You said you had some questions for me.
I did have some questions with it. I kind of touched on it at the start. Like, when did you transform from being kind of awkward and uncomfortable to becoming very second nature?
I don't know. It's definitely at the start. You're very cautious. You're very careful. I mean, because they're tiny, so you think that like the tiniest thing is going to hurt them, but then like after a while you realize how resilient they are. It's like anything, like you just get used to like the weight of them and being sort of comfortable, and they learn kind of and you learn at the same time like what is comfortable for them and how they like to lie. Like as I said before, like all kids are different, so there's no sort of hold them this way, it's not going to work like that. Like I think a good example was Mitch was talking about his little one Harry, and early on he was like, oh, He doesn't like the way I wrap him. And I was like, oh yeah, I was really, really good at wrapping Heath. So I'll show you how to wrap him. And then I came over one day and Barnsley goes, oh, have a go at it. And so I did it and he didn't like it. So it's just, it proves that like, it's just one of those things, like you learn what they like and how they want to be around you. And once you get to that point, then it gets easier. And then they start sort of, helping you out by like hanging on to you, and instead of you just having to hold them, and like it's getting good now because like I can walk around the house with Heath if he's upset. Like he goes through moments during the day some days, and he'll just want you to hold him, and like he's like almost 13 kilos now, and think like walking around with a 13 kilo bag isn't easy, but when they start sort of grabbing onto you and holding onto your neck and doing stuff, it just becomes a bunch easier. Like you just
I must admit, like one of my big final hurdles was like bath time, because I still hadn't bathed her till yesterday actually, because I was just like nervous and not avoiding it, but just like, you know, the longer you put something off, the more scarier it gets. And for whatever reason, I was just really nervous about like being in the bath with her, and I can't really explain why. But then we had a bath, and she and Mackenzie had been like a little shit for like 45 minutes beforehand. I was pushing her around in the pram to try, and she didn't stop crying because I can't really settle her. Yeah. So Jamie's like, just maybe take her for a walk, because Jamie needed like a little break. Jamie needed to shower and have something to eat. So I was like, oh God. And so I was so frazzled by the end of it. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And Jamie's like, just why don't you have a bath? She loves having a bath. And I'm like, okay, I'll have a bath. And then we just shared like the most magical experience. She was laughing and she didn't want to get out of the bath. And I was like, God, why didn't I do this 6 weeks ago? So it's all like shit. The baby has all these milestones, but I feel like both of us, but me in particular, have milestones where, you know, like I'm 39 years old. Like learning new things is like not really, it's scary. Like I say, I joke around about all that Photoshop stuff and that, but like learning how to become a parent, there's no job like it. And so it's kind of really cool when you do things like that. And, you know, I love like the bond Jamie and Mackenzie have, and I want that too. So it's kind of, it's cool. When do they I was gonna ask you when do the poos turn from non-smelly to smelly, but I think it's actually happening right now, like in the last 48
food.
hours.
Yeah, when, as soon as food comes.
Oh God, she does these, like she's a father's daughter because she farts. And she's what are those things called? They're like sleeping bags for babies, whatever you call them. What are they called? They're like the little things that they're hand stuck in.
Like the sleep suit.
Swaddle, satchel. Yeah.
Wonder suit.
I don't know. It's like a baby sleeping bag.
Swaddle.
And she'll do these farts. And so they'll full Dutch oven in the swaddle. And then you open it up. Cause like,
it's like opening a plane after a 12-hour flight.
God, bro. Bro, and this waft of gas, and she smiles and laughs when she's going, like when she's pooing and stuff. I just think it's so fucking funny, because toilet humor will, like, I'll be 90 years old and I'll think toilet humor is funny and farting is funny. Yeah. And
that's like, and that's what half the smiles are at this age as well. Like it's actually rarely to do with the emotion of finding something funny, and more to do with relief at this stage. Yep. So like when Heath was that age, we were just like, oh, he's smiling. And then we're like, nah, he's farting.
Yeah. When did you figure out like the cries? Like, Apparently, there's different cries for what they want, and all the cries sound blood curdling, similar to me right now.
Yeah, we were kind of lucky in the sense that Heath wasn't really a crier early on. Like, we've spoken about what he went through early on, and I think he quickly learnt what upsets him, and it was really after we got through sort of operations and all this sort of stuff that he went through really early, it kind of just turned out that he would only ever cry if he was hungry. So, and even then it was just like it was a cry that didn't really sound like it wasn't loud. It wasn't ear piercing. Like, he never got to that stage. And, we were really lucky in the sense that it was either that or that he was, like, sometimes he'd get constipated and it would just be that. Like, he would just be, you could tell he was
constipation.
Could tell he was annoying and sort of out of sorts in that sense. But as far as that, like, I can't really speak for different types of cries because we only really had a couple of them. But
funny, like, you just feel so helpless, don't you?
Yeah.
Constipation and it's just like, it's just so painful to watch them in pain, and you just like, you can't do anything.
Yeah. And I look at other parents who, and I guess you're included in this list now, is just like, who have kids that do sort of lose it and you can't settle them.
I can't sell them. Jamie can.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the mother's thing, but even then, like, there was only a couple of moments there where I haven't been able to settle him, and you kind of just learn that they actually lean towards different people at different times. Like, there was a stage there where Heath would only say "Dada" for like weeks, and to the point where Ash is like, "God, he can say all these words, but he just still won't say Mama. He calls me Ash." And so she was getting shits, and then all of a sudden, like at the end of that day, he came home and he was like, "Mama," and he's just been like that ever since that time. And now Ash is like, "God, I wish you never learned how to say Mama."
He's a little mummy's boy. Mate, you've only had, this is my last question. You've only had one of these, so you're not that much more experienced than me. Father's Day on the weekend. What do we do?
Oh, so, I mean, my last Father's Day was a bit of a whirlwind of emotion for me, because not only was it my first Father's Day, but it was also my first Father's Day without Dad. So, I think early in the morning, leading up to the day, I was kind of wary and a bit worried about how I was going to feel on that day, because while I didn't I didn't hang out with Dad like on a weekly basis or anything like that, but some of the days that I would always spend with him would be Father's Day and his birthday and special days like that. So I kind of was that week, and I still hadn't really, I had only really sort of felt emotion about the whole thing once before that day. And then even when it was meant to be sort of his birthday, it was kind of like I got through that. It was all right. And then Father's Day ended up coming, and I think I woke up in the morning and got Heath out of bed, and I looked into his eyes and I was just like, "Nah, this day is about you now, you and me now." Yeah. Like, this is our day to sort of reflect on me being a dad now. And I just, I just spent the day with him and got to do some cool stuff with him. And that just, I didn't get upset about it. So I think, I don't know. When you're in lockdown and when you're a parent, like it's just another day. Like, you just get on with it. You obviously, like, I don't like getting spoiled, with presents and stuff like that. Ash always makes it she made it so special for me last year, and I know she's already bought me something for this year. And all I want is just same thing: get to go to the park, go get coffee.
Yeah,
hang out with the family. And
I think it's going to be an emotional day for me, because, you know, we've talked about it like off the podcast. I just feel differently now. Like since, like even in the lead up to the baby, it was I just felt a mindset change, and particularly, you know, I made that video that shared with family and friends from the day of the birth, and just like I talked about just crying tears of happiness, and I've never had like tear, like I didn't really know what tears of happiness were. Like, I've cried before, and I've kind of cried at like. Cried at kind of happy moments, but I've never like uncontrollably cried tears of happiness. Yeah. And that happened like multiple times in that first week. And one of the, watching that video, like I could watch that video now and I'll sit here just crying, just be so happy. Cause it's like, feels so long ago now. It was only 7 weeks ago, but that was kind of why I wanted to capture that kind of raw emotion of what that day was, and not being able to stay at the hospital because of the lockdown. So I just came home and just put a camera in front of my face. And
like I want to talk to you about that, because that was one thing that we got to have, like I think it was a few days after Heath was born that sort of COVID really became a real thing and a scary thing in Australia. And then by sort of the time that we had sort of gotten used to going back and forth from Randwick, we were in it, but we didn't realize, because we were just going back and forth. We were home, we'd sleep, and then we'd go back to the hospital and we'd spend all day there. And we were just in a room, and like to us, COVID, we didn't know anything about it. We hadn't watched the news. We didn't know what was going on. The only thing we knew is what was happening around us at the hospital, where certain people weren't getting let in, and it was sort of ramping up. But we got out luckily just as sort of they stopped having two parents being able to come to the hospital and stuff like that. And even the first 24 hours that we had Heath, when we were unaware of anything bad that was going to happen, like me being able to stay in the hospital for that first night, everything like that, like that was really important for our journey, mainly because of what came very soon after that, which was a lot to take in compared to just having that. But that first night was just, that was pure happiness and feeling that thing. Yeah. And I can't imagine the emotions that you would have been going through having to go home that night.
Yeah, being sent home. It was like, and you know, the hospital's in a very unenviable position of having to like tell the dads, like people are going in for operations aren't allowed to have visitors. So dads for new babies being born were the exception to who were allowed into the hospital. And I think it's still the case as of right now. And the Northern Beaches midwives up there were so amazing, but the rules were the rules, and you had to be out at 8 PM and they bent the rules those first couple of nights. So I was able to stay till like 11 PM and midnight. But it was like gut wrenchingly painful to have to just leave, because, you know, that's my baby girl, but that's also my partner who's just gone through the most traumatic experience a human being can go through in giving birth. And, you know, whatever it was, 13 hours later, I just have to leave her in a hospital. Mm. That was probably the hardest thing of lockdown, was having to leave the hospital. And she ended up being in hospital for a week.
Yeah.
And that was so difficult, having to leave every night. That was really the hardest part, I think, of our kind of 7 week journey so far, was the kind of having to say goodbye at the end of the night, and then, you know, kind of get back there first thing in the morning and just hopefully hear that the night went well, but sometimes the night didn't go well. Mm. And yeah, that was difficult. That was a tricky time, but it was easily outweighed by the happiness of, you know, learning how to change a nappy and all that other stuff.
A sentence I never thought would come out of your mouth. The happiness of learning how to change a nappy.
Oh, bro, what about the diabetes fridge? Like, I ate all the custard and all the jelly and all the cheese. I lived on ham cheese toasties for like a week, and I just, I was obviously the loudest person in the maternity ward. That was so spectacular, the girls that looked after
Yeah, midwives. After us and, midwives are very special people.
Oh, just brilliant, brilliant. So much empathy and patience. And yeah, it was great. It was really good on the job experience because we couldn't have any visitors, right? So like our mums couldn't come. Poor Jamie's mum was staying with us and had to wait like 8 days to meet her granddaughter and see Jamie again because we weren't meant to be in hospital that long and then she couldn't come up. So it was really like a strange experience. But like since then it's all been amazing in different ways. But that part was tricky. So I definitely empathize when you hear the stories at the moment where people can't see their dying family and stuff. But the flip side of that is those hospitals can spread COVID like wildfire as well. So you've got to not be selfish and realize that hospital is protecting you by not letting you do those things as hard as that is. But you know, I think it'll be an amazing part of our journey forever now. Like Mackenzie's 7 weeks old and has been locked down her entire life. Like I think that she's the COVID generation. She's like, there's stories like that everywhere. And I think, you know, in hopefully 6 to 12 months time, we'll really be able to kind of look back at this experience and just kind of laugh. And I think it really has molded our kind of early parenthood journey and allowed us to focus on being new parents and learning ways. Of course, we would have liked to have been out and about and seeing all our friends and family. We would have spent 2 weeks in Dubbo by now had we not been in lockdown. Like we miss all that right now, but we'd pick all that stuff back up. It's like that. We've got a lifetime of making memories with this child and our kind of little family now. So
yeah,
I think all things considered, we're extremely lucky. Like clean bill of health. Like I've seen what other parents have gone through, yourselves included, when it's not as smooth sailing on that front. So it's, you know, and kind of how quickly and easily we got pregnant, and we hear the horror stories of that and the tough times of that. So we've been so lucky. So to have a little bit of toughness where I had to go home for 6 hours every night for that first week, I mean, suck it up, princess, really.
I think you shouldn't feel guilty or anything like that. Like
of course not.
Just be happy, happy with what's happening and take it all in, because she's only going to be that big for a week at a time.
It changes every day. Yeah. It's such a trip, I reckon. Like obviously you feel she's getting heavier, but she's like the mannerisms start coming. It's just like,
yeah,
nothing can prepare you for what the range of emotions. You know, I went from being like just so unattached, like when I was going through all my trouble and depression, and just really being unable to control my emotions in the worst possible way, to now like being kind of out of control but very in touch of my emotions in the best possible way.
Yeah,
and I think it's just been so great. Like we talked, mental health and mental fitness, but this child is just like, just makes me be the best version of myself. So I'm very thankful and grateful for everything Jamie in particular has done. So yeah, it's been a life-changing experience. How's your mental health, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. I can't complain. Like I'm very lucky in the situation with work. Like I've ended up at a role that can just carry on being locked down. Like I've got an amazing wife and amazing son, and we've got some really good friends and sort of a network that keeps us all going and ticking along. And I mean, yeah, there's been tough weeks during the lockdown, and there's been days and there's been arguments and all that sort of stuff, but at the end of the day, when I sit back and think about these things and the arguments that we had, like it's just like, well, they were stupid. Most of the time I was in the wrong, and we just move on, and it makes it so great that that we can just sort of, you can use like this little person to sort of gauge your happiness, and
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing matters when you get a little laugh or a smile out of them, or they learn something new. Like even today, like Heath just started riding a little three-wheeler bike for the first time, mm-hmm. and we've been trying to teach him how to ride this thing for months, and then all of a sudden we just put it in the middle of the room and he got on it and then started pushing himself around. It's just like we were just sitting there going, how good do you pick up this thing? And it's just like I have all these things that like at work that are incredible, like huge projects that we're working on, they're coming to life. But then I look at this little project that we've got at home,
yeah,
and I go, best
project.
And I go, I just get so much joy out of that sort of thing. Yeah. And I'm stoked for you. And I'm just so happy with your, not only this journey into fatherhood, but your journey from where you were sort of 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's not far off. I think I got back broken from America, I think August 3rd, 2019. So it's like only 2 years ago now. And it's like, I don't think I'll ever really look back and listen to too many of those podcasts, but one of the ones I want to listen to back is the one with my dad, and just kind of, I think I've got a much better understanding about what a dad is.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, like, you know what a dad is, obviously, but, you know, like to be a dad myself now, I think that's one episode I really want to listen to again. And
like at that stage, I was a new dad as well.
Yeah.
And I can tell that you'll hear something different in your dad's voice when he's talking about you now.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably felt emotion when we did that episode, because it was a thing where you were hearing him talk about you like this for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now that you're sort of almost in his shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it will be in his shoes eventually, yeah.
Definitely. You'll definitely hear something that you didn't hear before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's been like we kind of parked this for a little while, the podcast itself, but and we kind of don't like not being in the same room together, which is one of the reasons why we've kind of parked it as well. But it's kind of, I feel like we need to keep talking and keep getting the message out and the good vibes, particularly for, you know, Sydney as a whole and a lot of our friends who might be doing it a bit tough and, you know, got to check in with your mates. I had like a half an hour phone call yesterday with Smills, my best mate up in Emerald Beach. And I just called him out of the blue, and it was for no reason other than to shoot the shit.
Yeah.
I think there's no better feeling than, you know, making that phone call and not actually asking or wanting something. It's just like shooting the shit, and you're just like, it just feels really nice after that. And I think, again, like as always, let's encourage people, our listeners, to just, you know, check in with a mate, check in with a family member, call your mum or dad and tell them you love them. Don't call your mum and dad. I called mum yesterday and said I need some help around. Bless her, Donna, soul of the earth. So, but 3 days earlier, I did call her just to say hi. So,
yeah,
I try and get to someone every day.
Yeah, and
just make one of those calls.
Yeah, I mean, Are You Okay Day is just one day, but I think we should push for any day to be sort of a day to check on your mates.
It's topical. I mean, you can't escape the suicide numbers in the press, in the media now, and I have some feelings about that it does kind of upset me a little bit, in the sense that people are using that as a narrative now. Like the suicide numbers were really bad before COVID. Now they're at least being talked about. Like how this whole podcast was born because of COVID, right? Like. And that my suicide and depression issues were pre-COVID. So we know that it was a big, big problem beforehand, but it's worse than ever. Yeah. And it's only going to get worse as, you know, particularly financial strain and families get stretched and broken and all of that. So a lot of people will suffer in silence, and sometimes a text message is not enough. Like if you suspect and it's a difficult conversation that could really save someone's life, and you don't know. It can kind of often the loudest and funniest and the person you'd least expect to do something like that or be in a lot of trouble is that person. So I think that's the message we should be pushing out, because, you know, we're staring down the barrel of probably another 4 to 6 weeks of this lockdown. So, and not just Sydney, look at Melbourne as well. Mm. I mean, Melbourne have kind of copped it, and we don't know a lot of people down there, but our buddy Audio Technica JB, so shout out to him.
Yeah.
And Claire there. So I don't really know where I was going with that. I
think check on your mates.
Wrap the show. Mate date.
Mate date is going to happen. I think that's a really good idea. But I just want to finish the show with a big congrats to you and Jamie.
Thanks, mate.
Can't wait to see little Mac again. And
social distancing.
Social distancing, and even when we're past the social distancing side of things, and we can have like a nice picnic or a barbecue or something where we can hang out.
That'd be really nice. Thank you for all your love and support. Particularly you and Ash are like probably my two closest people who kind of do lean on for that type of any type of kind of advice. You know, we have our kind of daily text chain with fucking dickhead Dove in America who fuck you, Dove. So some of the things that are said in that chat keep me very, very sane at times. So yeah. It's nice. It's fun. And
you need it.
Dude, thanks for being you and being a great support and friend, and keep doing great things with TikTok and as a family man. And let's enjoy this journey of fatherhood together.
Yeah. And let's do it again soon. Hopefully not with a few months break next time.
No, I think we'll get back into it a bit more regularly now, won't we?
I think so. Yeah.
I'll find me my.
Yeah. Find your headset. All right, man.
What
did he do? Well, I love you.
Oh, I love you, buddy.
Speak to you soon.
See you, mate. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.